The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Padraig Harrington has been an avid campaigner to raise awareness of esophageal cancer ever since his father's sad passing in 2015. When I spoke to him about his dad Paddy's passing 4 years ago, there was someone listening at the time who recognised some of the symptoms, and his name is Sean O'Keefe. He's on the line, as is Padraig. Good morning and welcome to you both. Sean, just tell us about you tuning into the radio. What were the circumstances?
Hello, Pat. Good morning. I was driving along one day, right, in the car, and I had News Talk on, as I normally do. And Padraig came on, and he was speaking about esophageal cancer. And I knew nothing about esophageal cancer at all, right? It's just something. He was talking about his father and how he had passed, and he mentioned the fact that he had been taking loads of medication for acid reflux, right? And yeah. So this sort of struck a chord with me, because I had been using medication, liquid. I don't know if I can mention the name, but there's one particular one that's very common, right? So I've been drinking bottles of this stuff, right, over the years to counteract acid reflux. So this sort of struck a chord with me when I heard him talking about that. Even though I didn't have any, I didn't have much symptoms at the time, I wasn't really being that troubled. And even at that stage, the acid reflux, I had sort of cut back on my diet, and the acid reflux had actually improved, and in fact I wasn't suffering too much from the acid reflux. So it was just how he described how his father used to take all this medication, and it sounded just like me.
So how soon after that did you go to the doctor?
Well, then, you see, I was having trouble. I was having slight trouble with a slight pain in my chest. Now, it was very, very mild pain, more a discomfort than a pain, I suppose, right? And this sort of, having heard Padraig, I started maybe adding two and two together. And, of course, I Googled the issue, right? And I didn't seem to have the type of symptoms that are listed, right, which are, you know, difficulty swallowing. There's various other things which I wasn't really affected by. So at the same time, I still had this sort of nagging pain. Yeah, during the day, I didn't notice it that much. Lying in bed at night, maybe before I went to sleep, I'd feel it. You know, this sort of nagging little sort of a pain in my esophagus, right, or my chest.
But eventually, you did go to the doctor.
Really. Sorry?
You did eventually go to the doctor.
Oh, I did the doctor go to the doctor. Right? Now, it was probably another few weeks after the I'd heard the interview, right? And I eventually went to the doctor, and the doctor sort of treated it initially as indigestion, right? And he gave me some medication to take over, two-week period. I took this medication. Yeah. It wasn't improving it in any way, right? So I went back to the doctor again, back to the GP. And so the GP then decided to send me for a scope, right, an endoscopy. And so I went for the endoscopy. He did the job. He came back. The consultant came out to me afterwards. And he just said to me, I mean, it was the way he put it. He just said, I'm going to refer you, he says, to Professor Reynolds in St. James's Hospital. Now, he didn't tell me what was wrong with me or anything, right? He just said, I'm going to refer you, and I'm going to go now and arrange an appointment for you.
Okay, well, look, I don't want to go through every single procedure that you had to go through before you got the diagnosis, although obviously the course of these examinations is important. But they did diagnose that you had esophageal cancer, and that meant presumably surgery. What was your reaction to the fact that you were going to have to be operated upon?
Well, there was... The way it worked was there was to be a long sort of session of treatment first, which was involving radiotherapy and chemotherapy, which was then to be followed by an operation, right? So that took up to, well, what was it being, about four to five months. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the operation until basically the following January, right? Because there were some delays as well. But, I mean... The whole thing was handled, I must say, it was handled really well in James's, right? And the operation went very, very well.
If you had not done that and you waited for your symptoms to become more extreme, Sean, what might have happened to you?
Well, that's the point, I think, right? And that's why this hearing pouring on the radio, to a certain degree, could possibly have saved me because... if I had left it, which I could very well have, because the symptom I had wasn't that severe, right? And it wasn't one of the normal symptoms. It was just a very slight discomfort in my chest.
So, and, that random appearance by Paul Harrington on the programme talking about his father's passing and the importance of diagnosing esophageal cancer, that possibly saved your life. Poor Rick Harrington, you can take a bow.
Thank you. I do feel good about that. You know, as you said, Pat, this time of the year, every year, I'm doing a bit of promotion for the Esophageal Cancer Fund because they have Lollipop Day and they raise all their funds. This is their period. Obviously, they're struggling with COVID because nobody can be out in the streets at the moment collecting. So it's all online this year. But it's always this time. I'm glad it's done some practical good.
And the point about your dad, you lost him far too young. I mean, he seemed to be as healthy as a trout, but had been swallowing all these indigestion measures. I suppose self-medicating. And I'm sure you look back at it and think, if only we knew about esophageal cancer or the prospect of it, things might have been different.
Yeah, you know, in my case, look, I can remember being a kid running down getting the anti-indigestion tablets. Esophageal cancer, the symptoms are pretty straightforward. The earlier you catch it, the better, like all cancer. So, you know, it's indigestion, it's acid reflux, it's all persistent. So if you get these things, the odd time it doesn't matter. It's persistent cough, persistent problem swallowing. Anything that's persistent is an issue with this. So, but my dad had these things. But like Sean there, you know, he could get on with his life. What did it matter? You just keep going. And after he passed in 2005, and it's only afterwards that you start seeing all these, especially when you travel in the States, all these advertisements for acid reflux, but they always warn, this is not something that you're meant to take all the time. This is something you're meant to take if you get it the odd time. And, you know, I clearly it wasn't on my radar before 2005, so I wasn't picking up on these messages. And you know, in the States, you don't see them as much here in Ireland, and that's what the Esophageal Cancer Fund is about. It's about obviously raising funds for research, but it's also about advertising and promoting the symptoms because... cancer catch early, you're going to have such a good chance of beating it.
Yeah, and because the Lollipop Day can't really happen because of this, there's a Shake Your Lolly initiative, not just for a day, but for the whole month. And you can go to ocf.ie and there you'll find all the details of how you can actually help out. Porrick, I have to ask you about your own recovery from COVID-19. I read in your blog that you write as the Ryder Cup captain that you came through it and you're fine.
Yeah, I caught it the first week I went to the States, and that's nothing against the States. You know, people think that it's the Wild West out in the States. The US is kind of like what Ireland was in the middle of the summer. So everybody's wearing masks, everybody's doing all this stuff, but they are out and about. So it's not what you portray, but I caught it for some reason. I'm not really sure. I was told on the Monday. I got tested Tuesday, Saturday, Monday, and I had it on the Monday. I had no symptoms, but they told me I had a high viral load. The following day, obviously, the symptoms started coming on. I was well. I had plenty of vitamins and stuff. I'd well read up on it, and I got a pretty mild version, and I had to quarantine for 10 days is the rules in the States, which is you know, after the 10 days, I'm kind of exempt for 3 months from the testing on tour and stuff like that. So it kind of, if you got a mild dose, you know, this is the one to get.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to hear you're back in the full, if you'll pardon the pun, swing of things. A number of our listeners, knowing I'm having you on, want to know about the Ryder Cup. It's I don't know how many days, maybe 150 days or something to the first shot on the first tee at Whistling Straits, and everyone's hoping there'll be crowds there, that it'll be business as usual. How do you feel about all of that?
Oh, it would definitely have crowds. Well, I say definitely. Right at this moment, they're preparing for crowds. How many Europeans will there will be, that will depend on rules over here rather than the States. But in Wisconsin, you could be pretty sure they've had crowds at football games there already. So I think there'll be a pretty decent sized crowd, maybe made up of mostly US and maybe Europeans living in the US. But it's full steam ahead at this stage. I obviously things can change, but I at the moment it's planning for a full normal possible Ryder Cup.
Yeah, and finally, one of our listeners, Justin, wants to know how many wild cards you'll be picking. I mean, there's a ranking system that kind of selects part of your team, and then you've got your wild cards.
I there's 9 guys who get in automatically based on how they play, and then I get to choose 3. It's tightening up very quickly. You know, the 9 are very tight at this stage, and then so the 3 are the ones that the 3 wild cards are the ones that are up for grabs. And there's probably half a dozen experienced players, and then a couple of rookies. And Shane Lowry, I suppose, from an Irish context, he's obviously not a rookie in terms of how we think about him. You know, he would be a strong contender for one of those 3 spots. But there is probably half a dozen guys looking for them, so it's going to be tough. Right, well, it could be tough right at the end. Hopefully, for my sake, I hope there'll be a bit of clarity. The US have 6 picks; they have 6 automatic and 6 picks. And if you like, I know they were giving me 8 picks at one stage, and if you have 8 picks, and you have 24 guys in contention. That's 732,000 different teams you can come up with. So 3 picks is a lot simpler, and by the time it comes around, I'm hoping that at least 1 or 2 of those, everybody, there'll be consensus, and maybe I'll only have to make a hard choice when it comes to 1.
All right. Well, I'm really looking forward to it. I know the Americans can be noisy, but that kind of adds to the atmosphere and the fever of the occasion. But, Porrick, best of luck with that. And also, we once again have to mention Lollipop Day not happening, but Shake Your Lolly is happening. And go to ocf.ie if you want to help the fight against esophageal cancer. Thanks to Porrick, and also thanks to Sean O'Keefe, who survived esophageal cancer. Thanks to hearing Porrick and myself chat on the radio. So there.